Are you looking for a club that celebrates friendship? Then Best Buddies might be the one for you. We organize social events for local folks with disabilities to come to campus and hang out. Some of our highlights of the past years have been our holiday parties, a polar bear plunge in the freezing Chesapeake Bay, our friendship walk with Best Buddies branches from around the state, and a winter formal with over 80 people. And if you want to learn more information, check out our Instagram at BestBuddiesUMB.
Good evening. You're listening to WMUC Radio News' weekly roundup for May 5th, 2025 on WMUC FM College Park. I'm Rhian Evans.
And I'm Sarah Rooney. This week, we'll celebrate the start of May by diving into a blossoming new housing complex, take a look into a budding new student government association, spring into new laws surrounding real IDs, and more.
But first, since Russian President Vladimir Putin proposed a temporary ceasefire deal with Ukraine, President Donald Trump has let go of his national security advisor and reached a minerals deal with Ukraine. WMUC News' Abigail Rodersheimer has more on what this means and what students think.
Last week, Russian President Vladimir Putin proposed a three-day ceasefire with Ukraine, to which Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky rejected on Saturday. Last week, President Donald Trump also announcing his national security advisor would be leaving his post and be nominated as the United States ambassador to the United Nations. Sarah Croco, a faculty associate at the University of Maryland Center for International Development and Conflict Management, thinks this change won't affect the U.S. role in peace talks.
It might make, so if you have someone who's slightly more hawkish, it might make Russia less resist or less willing to talk. But I don't think that's going to be like make or break this deal.
This week, the United States also reached an agreement with Kyiv to share Ukraine's profits from mineral and energy reserves, which are commonly used for renewable energy and mineral technology. The Washington Post reported Saturday morning that Russian officials were scornful of the agreement, calling it, quote, another step towards the colonization of Ukraine, end quote. Croco says Russia's demands in a permanent ceasefire would likely be for the country to take control of Ukraine's four provinces along the shared border between the nations.
I think they will pitch it as this isn't how much we wanted, so we're actually being nice and only taking this.
President Trump, who ran on the promise of ending the war, reached his first 100 days in office last week. Zephra Ochoa, junior criminology and criminal justice major, said she hasn't kept up with the Ukraine conflict, but a ceasefire wouldn't improve her sentiments.
One, like, minute good thing is not going to erase the totality that is, like, the chaos of his term.
Croco says that because of how heavily Americans have continued to follow the conflict, unless the agreement ended with Ukraine maintaining its provinces, Trump likely wouldn't see a jump in ratings. In March, Gallup polls reported that just over 50% of Americans support helping Ukraine reclaim its territory. However, Pew Research reported in early April that 57% of Republicans believe that Trump is striking the right balance between both countries. For WMUC News, I'm Abigail Rodersheimer.
Thanks, Abigail. After years of extended deadlines, the Real ID Act is finally going into effect this Wednesday. But what does it mean for you? For starters, according to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, a standard driver's license or state ID will no longer be enough for travelers to board a domestic flight in the U.S., enter nuclear power plants, or access certain federal facilities. Instead, travelers will need to present a security-enhanced Real ID or some other valid form of identification. According to the Homeland Security website, this deadline comes 20 years after recommendations were made in the aftermath of the September 11th terrorist attacks. Real IDs are federally compliant, state-issued driver's licenses, learner's permits, or non-driver IDs. Real IDs will have a black or gold star located on the ID, though the appearance will vary by state. To get a Real ID in Maryland, people will need to provide documentation of their age. They can do that with a U.S. birth certificate, a valid U.S. passport, a permanent residence card, a certificate of citizenship, or a naturalization certificate. They will also need to show verification of their Social Security number through a W-2, their Social Security card, or a pay stub from within the last 3 months. Lastly, they will need to show two documents that prove they live in Maryland. Those residency documents can include a vehicle registration card, a bank account statement, an insurance card, a utility bill, a lease or mortgage statement, or a cable or phone bill. People can make an in-person appointment with the Motor Vehicle Administration to obtain a real ID. When flying domestically, the Transportation Security Administration will also accept a valid passport, permanent residence card, border crossing card, or enhanced IDs. Children under 18 are not required to show a real ID to fly domestically.
In state news, Maryland public schools could be facing over $230 million in budget cuts by the federal government. School officials were told Tuesday that they would lose just over $232 million in federal funding. Donna Gunning, an assistant superintendent in the Maryland State Department of Education, told Maryland Matters that the state has not been reimbursed for the over $127 million that has been allocated in the wake of the loss of these funds. Joshua Michael, the board president for the department, also told Maryland Matters that this could impact the salaries of 2,000 teachers next school year. The state originally thought it would be losing over $400 million when a letter was sent last month by the United States Department of Education. The letter said the Federal Education Department would immediately cancel a Biden administration extension policy on spending down remaining COVID-19 recovery funds. The letter also said the federal government would only consider reimbursing states for money spent on COVID relief in extremely narrow conditions.
In local news, police have charged a College Park man in connection with the murder of his girlfriend. Authorities say 32-year-old Rogerio Palma dropped off a 24-year-old Brianna Burton at White Oak Medical Center emergency room in Silver Spring with gunshot wounds, then left the scene. Burton, a civil engineer from Centerville, Virginia, was later pronounced dead. Investigators later determined that Burton had been shot in Prince George's County. On April 29th, 2 days after the shooting, Palma was identified as Burton's boyfriend and arrested by Prince George's County Police. He is now facing first and second degree murder charges and remains in custody. Police ask anyone with information on the case to contact Prince George's County homicide detectives.
In campus news, this year's Student Government Association election had the highest voter turnout since 2020. According to the organization's election data, 6,000 students voted in the election, which is an approximately 167% increase from last year. In 2024, only about 2,000 students voted in the election. Some students believe the divestment referendum increased student voter turnout in this year's election. 55% of voters were in favor of the divestment referendum, which urged the university to divest from companies that support human rights violations.
Also this week, the Student Government Association hosted the first general body meeting of its 2025-2026 legislative session on Wednesday. President Drew Rachmirani, alongside Executive Vice President Riona Shaikh, elected supporting positions. Diego Henriquez was named Speaker of the Legislature, and Hassam Islam was named Speaker pro tempore, who steps in when the main speaker is unable to. Mirani also selected Salili Korajikar as Internal Chief of Staff and Luis Mancuso as External Chief of Staff. The Internal Chief is in charge of promoting people already within the organization, while the External focuses on appointing new members of the SGA. Other legislative and director positions will be appointed in the coming weeks.
This summer will be the last for the Six Flags Amusement Park in Bowie. The Six Flags Amusement Corporation announced on Thursday that it will close Six Flags America in Hurricane Harbor after the 2025 season ends in November. In a press release, the company's CEO, Richard Zimmerman, said that the park did not fit with the company's long-term growth plan. According to the press release, the park currently employs 70 full-time workers. Those eligible will be given severance and other benefits after the park closes. The press release says that the company is aiming to redevelop the park's 500-acre property.
A new affordable housing complex called the Flats at College Park is set to open this week. WMEC News' Tyler Kowatrin has more.
Off of Route 1, just north of UMD's campus, the Flats at College Park will include 317 units, with the first 78 opening this week and the rest coming later this summer. According to Danny Copeland, Vice President of RST Development, the company that developed the project, rents are adjusted to be an average of 60% of the area's median income. The cost of an apartment per month ranges from $1,200 to $3,000, depending on the unit size. The rent limits in the apartments range from 50 to 80% of the area's median income, meaning the rent is based on what the tenants earn instead of a fixed price. Copeland said the project is nearly 4.5 years in the making, starting when his team saw a chance to redevelop three dilapidated motels and responded to the area's affordable housing shortage.
supply and demand, right? We knew there was a huge need that needed to be served. We knew it would create a positive impact to the community, which we care deeply about. And then there are other financial incentives that help support affordable housing that are at a federal level.
The flats will also include a 3,000 square foot commercial space, which is expected to become the new headquarters for Food for Maryland, a nonprofit that prepares and distributes meals locally.
We've really tried hard to find a nonprofit that could fill that space, and we're not charging any rent for it. But we wanted to bring somebody in that has synergy with the affordable housing mission of this, right? And create a secondary beneficial impact to the community.
Despite the addition of these units, many city officials have said they don't think they are enough on their own to entirely address the city's demand for affordable housing, including District 3 Councilmember Ray Ranker.
We have an affordable housing crisis in our country, which is the case in our state, which is also the case in our city. So it's not enough.
Well, there are some incentives, including tax credits. Colton said the difficulty of developing affordable housing is likely why there isn't more. He said it's especially hard to develop because of lengthy approval processes due to zoning laws, local pushback from communities, and complicated financing systems unique to affordable housing, among others. College Park's Economic Development Director Michael Williams praised the flats.
They're really high quality built, and we think that a lot of people that work for the university, work for the city, will be applicants to live there. It's really nice, really nice stuff.
For WMUC News, I'm Tyler Quatran.
Thanks, Tyler. Now it's time for the Terps sports recap. The Terps softball team lost its final three games of the season over the weekend. Number 20 Nebraska swept UMD on the diamond, outscoring the Terps a combined 24-3 during the three games. Those final games wrap up a miserable season in College Park, which sees the Terps finish with an abysmal 18-31 record, with just 3 wins and 21 ties during conference play.
The Terps baseball team won a weekend series for the first time in 2025, winning 2 out of 3 on the road against Penn State. Sophomore Braden Martin played hero in the Saturday game, launching a lead-taking home run in extra innings to secure a 12-11 win for the Terps. Maryland now has 8 wins in the conference and is 2 games behind Michigan State for the 12th and final slot in the Big Ten tournament.
The women's lacrosse team played the waiting game all week, watching the NCAA selection show on Sunday night after dropping the Big Ten championship game against Northwestern. Maryland earned the 6th overall seed in the tournament, where it will face Fairfield in the first round on Friday.
The men's lacrosse team beat Penn State in the Big Ten tournament semifinals, but lost to Ohio State in the championship game. The Terps dug themselves out of an early hole, letting the Buckeyes take a 5-0 lead just over 6 minutes into the game. Despite the loss, UMD still earned the 2nd overall seed in the national tournament. The slot gives Maryland a first-round bye, and the Terps will play the winner of Air Force versus Robert Morris on Sunday. That concludes the Terps sports recap.
From Nets to Necks, the Maryland Zoo in Baltimore released the name of its baby giraffe calf on Thursday. From April 11th to the 23rd, the zoo held a naming contest where people could enter a name for a $100 donation. Zookeepers decided to name the calf Titali, which means butterfly in the Bulu language. The contest arose after Titali's surprise birth on March 27th. Representatives of the Maryland Zoo said that they didn't know Titali's mother was pregnant when she arrived to the zoo this past November. According to a press release, Titali will be able to meet the public in a few weeks if her developmental checkpoints stay on track. And that's it for your weekly roundup. I'm Rian Evans.
And I'm Sarah Rooney. You're listening to WMUC 90.5, where college radio is good radio. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WMUC Radio News and like us on Facebook. The show was directed by Alex Taylor and produced by Rian Evans, our head copy editor Tori Sneed, and our executive producer Elizabeth Polo. Contributors to this week's show include Abigail Rodersheimer, Rian Evans, Ashna Ballroop, Tyler Kowatran, Alex Taylor, Elizabeth Polo, our lead sports writer Andy Parr, and me.
You are now. You're listening to WMUC College Park. I'm Greg Freeman.
hungry for light, I will take your pity. Hungry for strength, hungry for light, I will take your pity. Hungry for strength, hungry for light, I will take your pity. Hungry for strength, hungry for light, I will take your pity. Hungry for strength, hungry for light, I will take your pity. Gas, I'm a million miles an hour and I'm never coming last. Hey, hey, hey. Saw you in the distance, there was something in the room. Could have been the music or it could have been the moon. Hey, hey, hey. No, we trouble, baby, leave it at the door. Hey, hey, hey. No, we
hello, it's 6:33 and you're listening to WMEC FM College Park Radio. That was Emotional by Ash. I'm WMEC news producer Katie.
And I'm WMEC reporter Kira. We're about to drop the latest on all things pop culture.
It's Met Gala Monday, and get ready for some live coverage as our favorite celebs walk the carpet. We'll also get you up to date on some other pop culture news highlights.
And of course, we've got great music in store for you. First, Casey's going to break down the Met Gala theme and what we can expect tonight.
Hollywood's most fashionable night has officially kicked off in New York City. Right now, celebrities, exclusively invited by Vogue editor-in-chief Anna Wintour, are walking the blue carpet for the annual Met Gala, a benefit event for the Met's Costume Institute. This year's theme is Superfine, Tailoring Black Style, a take on black dandyism, which Met exhibit curator Monica Miller described to Vogue as, quote, a strategy and a tool to rethink identity, to really push a boundary, especially during the time of enslavement on who and what counts as human, end quote. The style stems from a time when slave owners treated enslaved people as dolls, dressing them extravagantly to flaunt their wealth. Despite black dandyism's racist origins, black Americans soon reclaimed it as a form of societal rebellion, mixing European fashion with black culture. The superfine part of the theme emphasizes menswear, so we can expect to see lots of suits tonight. And to match the theme, this year's hosts are black fashion icons, besides Anna Wintour, a perpetual Met Gala host. Rapper A$AP Rocky, producer Pharrell Williams, actor Coleman Domingo, and Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton are co-chairing the event, with legendary basketball player LeBron James as an honorary co-chair. James unfortunately won't be attending because of a knee injury he sustained at the end of his NBA season. Host committee members include a number of black athletes and creatives, like Ayo Edebiri, Simone Biles, Dochi, and Spike Lee. So, who do you guys expect will be the night's best dressed?
Well, I'm currently looking at Simone Biles, and I feel like her outfit's fun. She has, like, it's like a short blue dress with, like, a big white collar, and then it, like, big skirt in the back. I don't know how to describe that, but I think she looks cool. But yeah, I think there's been a lot of really good outfits so far tonight, and we're so early in on the Met Gala. Like, I think this is a really good theme, and I think people hopefully will continue to, like, stay on theme, because I think all the outfits I've seen so far are really good.
I was going to say, she looks like a pretty blue ladybug. Like, I was like the gems on her dress, like, the flowers. I feel like that gives, like, ladybug, but in, like, a pretty way. I like it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see ASAP Rocky because, I mean, he's one of the co-chairs and he's really good. And I really liked his explanation of the Met Gala theme, and I think it holds really close to his heart. So I'm excited to see him and also Rihanna. I think they're going to be a great power couple, and I think they're going to look great. I don't know if she's going to be there.
I saw on Twitter that she was in New York getting ready as of, like, a couple of hours ago.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, yeah.
And she also looks pregnant. Can I say that?
Yeah, because they did their announcement a couple of weeks ago, and they did it in Harlem.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah. Now, Katie is going to break down the history of the Met Gala and if it still holds up today.
So, the Met Gala has been a New York tradition since 1948 when the event started, and the Met Gala has, like, started to turn heads due to the yearly theme of the event, which started in about 1973. So, however, this year some are calling out the Met Gala for being tone deaf, as many across the country are struggling with inflation, tariffs, and the ripple effects of global conflicts. Notably, Jack Schlossberg, a grandson of President John F. Kennedy, is calling for a boycott of the Met Gala this year, arguing that the event is elitist and, quote, pathetic event for corporate sluts, end quote, on social media. However, many people have quickly come to defend the Met Gala. Yes, the tickets are expensive, with one ticket costing $75,000 this year, according to CBS. But the money from these tickets are funneled into the Metropolitan Museum of Art's Costume Institute. And it also brings awareness for the exhibit that the Costume Institute puts on every year. The Trump administration has made major cuts to federally funded museums, including gutting the Institute of Museum and Library Services and an executive order to remove diversity, equity, and inclusion rhetoric from displays inside Smithsonian museums. The Met Gala's main purpose is also to bring attention to the Costume Institute and its work. This year, it's celebrating Black fashion, and to get people excited to go to museums and learn about how clothing interacts with our society. So, what do you think about people who think that the Met Gala this year is tone deaf, and do you think that, like, the Met Gala serves a positive purpose in society?
I think that it's honestly a fair criticism to say it's kind of tone deaf. Yeah, there are things in the world going on right now that are probably more important, that are definitely more important. But I think, like, also objectively, to say that it's elitist, like, feels objectively true. Like, $75,000 a ticket, like, the average person is not affording that. So, yeah, I think it's fair, but yeah, at the end of the day, it's also raising money for the arts, which I also think is important, so.
Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of other events that happen, like, in the world of celebrities that, like, are equally as elitist and, like, tone deaf, but I feel like this one at least benefits the arts, which are kind of under attack right now, and I just love the Met, because I love the theme and I love fashion, but, like, I do totally get, like, that criticism, and I know people were saying the same thing last year. Like, it does feel weird, as, like, it's because it's a lot of just, like, flaunting the wealth, your wealth, like, in public, you know. But yeah,
yeah. I agree with all the criticisms, and I think that, I mean, it's definitely tone deaf because there's a lot of things going on in the world right now, and it sort of seems like people keep making the comparison that it's sort of like the Capitol and the Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with that, but I also think in a time where DEI is being attacked, which largely benefits the Black community, and then having the theme be like celebrating Black fashion and everything, I think, you know, in a sort of tone deaf gala, it's really important to have that sort of theme.
Yeah. So now it's time for a music break. Here's Just Dance by Lady Gaga. Thanks for sticking with us. Now Fizza will tell us about what happened and didn't happen at the Lady Gaga concert.
Lady Gaga performed a historic free concert on May 3rd at Copacabana Beach in Rio de Janeiro. More than 2.5 million people gathered to see her, setting a record for the largest crowd ever for a female artist. The night was filled with music, energy, and pride, but what no one knew at the time was that a deadly attack had been planned. Brazilian authorities foiled a terrorist plot aimed at the concert. A far-right extremist group, posing as Gaga fans, had intended to use homemade explosives and Molotov cocktails to target the crowd, particularly members of the LGBTQ+ community. Two suspects were arrested, one an adult man with illegal weapons, and the other a teenager connected to online hate speech and child pornography. The police launched Operation Fake Monster to stop the plot. To avoid panic, the public and Gaga herself were not informed until after the show ended safely. When news broke, Gaga thanked Brazilian officials and her fans, calling it one of the most emotional nights of her career. Despite the threat, the night belonged to the fans, the music, and the message that love is stronger than fear. So did you guys hear about this, and what are your thoughts on this whole situation?
I think it's... I'm so glad that nothing bad happened, but also I think it's crazy that, like, they didn't tell Lady Gaga until after it was over. I don't know, I feel like, especially, like, you know, after the Manchester concert with Ariana Grande and other instances like that, like, I feel like as the main artist that's gathering, like, 2.5 million people, like, I would want to know that and have the ability to call off the concert. I feel like, in a way, I mean,
I understand, like, giving her the power to, like, tell her, like, okay, to give her the decision to be able to call off the concert or not, but in a way, I'm kind of glad they didn't tell anybody, because if they did, I think she would have probably, like, called off the concert, or just, like, it would have ruined her mood, or, like, would have made her scared, and I think that would have maybe ruined the experience for some people, because at the end of the day, she's a human, and everybody, like, fears these kinds of things, but I think there's two sides to this. I feel like one side is that, like you said, I think it might have been important for her to know just so she could make the decision because it is her concert. But at the same time, I think it's also a smarter decision for them to, like, not tell her, and because they were able to safely address the issue. So then afterwards, they're like, hey, by the way, this did happen and we already fixed it, which I think was smart on their end.
Yeah.
Oh, I was also going to say, I think them not telling her was probably just, like, a practical thing, because, like, if she's like, okay, we're canceling because something might be going on, like, I feel like 2.5 million people is a lot.
Yeah.
It might cause, like, a stampede or something. Like, it might just end up making the situation more dangerous, especially since they did end up figuring it out, so.
Now,
and I think it also... Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead and switch. I'm done.
Now Kira is going to break a leg telling us all about this year's Tony nominations.
On June 8th, Broadway's biggest night, the 78th Tony Awards, will be held to recognize excellency in the world of theater. This year, the Tonys will be hosted by three-time Oscar nominee and Elphaba actress Cynthia Erivo. Productions such as Buena Vista Social Club, Death Becomes Her, and Maybe Happy Ending received the most recognition, with each earning 10 nominations. Other productions, including John Proctor's The Villain, Dead Outlaw, Sunset Boulevard, and The Hills of California, were also recognized with 7 nominations, according to the New York Times. Notable actor performances were also considered for awards, such as Stranger Things star Sadie Sink for her portrayal of a misunderstood teen in John Proctor's The Villain, Sarah Snook in a one-woman plus camera crew adaptation of The Picture of Dorian Gray, and Ocean's 11 actor George Clooney for his portrayal of Edward R. Murrow in the stage adaptation of Good Night and Good Luck. Billie Holiday portrayer Audra McDonald, who already won 6 respective Tonys, has now broken the record for the most nominated performer ever, with her now having received 11 nominations for a Tony Award, with this year's nomination being for her role in Gypsy. The award ceremony will be held at Radio City Music Hall and streamable on CBS and Paramount Plus. So what did you guys think of the nominations?
I really like how many truly original shows are nominated this year, and they seem great. I would love to see some, and I love the Tony Awards. I'm very excited because that's, like, where I get, like, introduced to all the best things, and then I, like, listen to the soundtracks and everything. I love the Tonys, so very excited.
I've never watched the Tonys. That's all I have to say. I've never watched it in my life, but I feel like the idea of the Tonys sounds interesting to me, like Broadway. Like, anything Broadway has always been interesting to me, so I feel like I should probably watch the Tonys this year. When is it, actually?
June 8th.
June 8th?
Yes.
Okay, maybe I'll watch it this year.
You should visit.
I'll let you guys know.
Now, Annika will tell us about a new era from a singer who is considered one of worlds of pop.
Lorde, the New Zealand pop star known for hit songs like Ribs and Royals, has announced her new album titled Virgin. Her highly anticipated fourth studio album is set to release on June 27th. This announcement follows the release of her newest single, What Was That?, which is one out of 11 songs on the new album. Lorde wrote in a newsletter sent to fans, quote, "I'm proud and scared of this album. There's nowhere to hide. I believe that putting the deepest part of ourselves to music is what sets us free," unquote. Olivia Blutker, a senior anthropology major at the University of Maryland, said, quote, "In general, I've only heard her very popular songs, but after reading the email she wrote to fans, I'm going to listen to the whole album," unquote. So are y'all looking forward to the album?
I need to give the single, like, an actual, like, listen through, but other than that, I really liked her last album. I feel like people say it flopped, but I liked Solar Power, so... I think that this album will be good, and yeah, I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm really excited for her new album. I also really liked Solar Panel. Like, I don't know why it got so much hate.
Power.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! I knew Solar that. Panel. Oh my gosh, I'm such a big fan, guys. Yeah, well, I love that album. So I think this is gonna go really well for her. So yeah, she also looks great in the Met Gala, by the way.
Speaking of which.
It's time for a music break. Here's Royals by Lorde.
Put my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns stretching the hotel room. Don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
You can call me Queen Bee,
and baby I'll rule.
Let me live that fantasy.
My friends in the eye, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows
that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money,
but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be wrong. Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
You can call me Queen Bee,
and baby I'll rule.
Thanks for sticking with us. So the Met Gala is happening as we speak, so let's talk about our favorite looks of the night so far. Who wants to start?
I was looking before we started the show, and Teyana Taylor was one of the first people to come out onto the red carpet, and I think it is easily, like, and she's on screen right now. Mm-hmm. Perfect. One of the best looks of the night, undoubtedly. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, she's got on a pinstriped suit with a deep red button-up shirt, lots of, like, a deep red cape, like, long floor length, a cool little hat, red hat with the boa, and then a do-rag underneath that's also, like, I think it goes into the cape, and it's just gorgeous. Like,
and the
I'm
shoulders,
not even doing it justice. Yeah,
the shoulders on
so
the cape,
bad.
It's so good.
It looks so good. Like, this is easily, I think, like, I don't know, we got some, I don't know who's gonna top this, but...
Oh my god, Dua Lipa!
Yeah, Dua Lipa looks great. She just went on. We also liked, it was Diana Ross, right?
Yes, and Diana Ross.
She had this huge, huge train, like giant dress. She looks beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, also Coleman Domingo, which is, he's one of the co-chairs. He also looks great. He showed up like in a blue, like regal looking cape. And then he took the cape off and he's wearing like a, maybe like a checkered black and white suit jacket, like tweed, gray bottoms, a polka dot like handkerchief tie with like a matching little like flower brooch on his lapel, and that also looks gorgeous.
I was gonna say that we just saw Dua Lipa right now, but I feel like her outfit and Sydney Sweeney's outfit and like hair are very similar. Like they both have like black, and they have like the curly like hair that's like kind of like slicked on their like face, like kind of face framing. I wonder if that's like part of a theme, but I kind of, it's interesting. I feel like Sydney's dress was like a little bit more simpler. I like Dua's like version of the black look. I feel like it's a little bit more like unique, but I still think like both the outfits are like pretty, but I think the curls are interesting. I wonder like if that's like part of the theme, because I feel like this theme is like, I don't really know exactly what it means.
And I really like all the little gems over everyone's outfits. I think that's really pretty. Love it. Oh, I love Met Gala.
I also really liked Emma Chamberlain. She's one of the, like, she always hosts the, like, the talks with the celebrities and stuff. She's wearing Corrigé's Bite and Nicholas DeFelice. And she's wearing this, like, pinstriped sort of, like, suit dress sort of thing. A lot of side boob. Love the gloves. Everything's really good. And she has this, like, smoky eye look. And, like, I think it looks really good with her pixie. Also, Lewis Hamilton. Oh, my gosh. That's a Ferrari shout out. He looks great. He's wearing, like, a white suit. He's got a cool like beret on. I still think it's a little bit simple, but I like that the suit is a little bit cropped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that adds like a little bit to it. But yeah, everyone's looking really good so far.
Yeah, everyone's pretty much on theme so far, which is nice. Oh, and Bad Bunny, shout out Bad Bunny too.
Yes!
Because he also looks great. He's got like a, I can't tell if it's dark brown or a black suit jacket on, but it's like suit jacket, like, yeah. Double-breasted brown shirt underneath with like a tan tie and like a cool little hat that I don't even know how to describe, but his hair looks cool too.
I was gonna say, did we talk about Zendaya's look? I'll let you talk about Akira.
I loved Zendaya's look. My mom, as we speak, was sending me Zendaya and like screenshots of her on the TV because we're both such big fans. I'm trying to see who she's wearing. She's wearing, oh my gosh, she's wearing Louis Vuitton, obviously, because she's like one of the ambassadors for Louis Vuitton. She looks amazing. She's wearing a huge, like, big hat, and she's wearing also a white suit, perfectly tailored to her body, like, really accentuating, like, her legs and everything, and it goes past her heels, and it looks absolutely phenomenal. Looks great.
Oh, I also forgot to mention earlier that I believe I do know that Teyana Taylor's outfit is all Marc Jacobs, so...
Any other Met Gala thoughts?
I'm still trying to see who else is. I really want to see Billie. I saw that Chapel Roan's coming.
I saw that
she posted on her story. So I'm excited to see her look, because we all know she wears very interesting outfits. So I feel like she's going to go all out for this. Or at least I hope she does. So I hope we get to see her before the show ends, but I doubt it because we have 3 minutes left.
Can we talk about some fails?
Fails, yeah. I feel like Gigi's was pretty, but, like, it wasn't as, like, out there as I wish it was. Like, it's pretty, it's a pretty dress. I just wish it was more. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Barry Keoghan as well, Sabrina Carpenter's ex. I don't think he looks very good. I think he could have done a little bit better. Like, he went for a little sum, but I wasn't living for it. Yeah, we already talked about Sydney Sweeney. Yeah, like, and, yeah, Gigi Hadid as well. She looks like she's going to the Great Gatsby, like a Great Gatsby party. I don't know what's happening. But, I mean, they look great. It's just not on theme.
Yeah, I don't know if she came out yet. I've just been seeing tweets, but Keke Palmer looks really good, in my opinion. It's like a dress with, like, pants underneath, and the dress, like, the top is, like, how do I even explain that? Like, it's, like, kind of a suit top, but, like, it's not, like, the...
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I like this.
Yeah, I think she looks great.
Ooh,
I like that.
Oh, Joe Burrow is also a fail. It's boring. I'm bored. It's literally just like a plain, like, blue suit. Like, he could have pulled up anywhere wearing that.
Well, that's all for this week. I'm Katie. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in to WMUC News every Monday at 6 p.m. and Drop the Pop at 6:30 p.m. on 90.5 FM or visit WMUC-FM at wmuc.umd.edu. We're leaving you today with Starlight by Taylor Swift. Until then, this has been
Drop the Pop.
Lulu song.
Wait, I appreciate Walton Goggins here. I appreciate what he's trying to do. I don't know if I like it. Last night, never would forget how he moved. The whole place was dressed to the nines, and we were dancing.